This is KRDO's Morning News Extra. 9 to 10 on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM.
9:35 here, KRDO News Radio. Thanks again for being with us on the Extra. I'm Paul Richards, and we welcome in on the KRDO Newsline. David Jenkins has worked for CRS, or its predecessor organization, Republicans for Environmental Protection, since 2005. Much of that time he served as VP for Government and Political Affairs for the REP. David, great to talk to you this morning. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Good, good. I appreciate you taking the time. So I've already heard the con side of this argument. I want to talk to you about the pro side. We're talking wetlands, we're talking streams, and we're talking about the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA putting a plan in place to kind of take jurisdiction over those waterways, right?
Yeah, the rule was made or necessary by a Supreme Court sort of non-ruling in 2006 where the judges were sort of hung up. So EPA had the responsibility and the Army Corps of reasserting and defining the scope of the Clean Water Act as it pertains to a couple types of water. So intermittent streams, small streams, wetlands, and things like that. And so what they've done is essentially just stipulate what the Clean Water Act covers in terms of the water bodies. And, you know, our position is that where they came down on this ultimately reflects the original intent of the Clean Water Act. And I'm not talking about, you know, liberals and Democrats' view. I'm talking about Republicans who helped craft that piece of legislation, like Howard Baker. They all seem to recognize that in order to protect our bigger water bodies, you have to protect the smaller water bodies as well. And the other thing that we're really concerned about is with respect to wetlands and these small streams, they perform these functions for free, whether it's absorbing, you know, holding water and releasing it slowly during times of drought, or whether it's preventing fast runoff and preventing flooding, filtering our water, bringing clean water down to for us for our water supply. And they do all these things for free. And when we allow people to sort of willy-nilly just pave over or fill them or pollute them, what we're doing is creating a need for additional infrastructure that we as taxpayers have to pay for. And not only do we have to pay for it, we have to maintain it over time, and it becomes a burden for our children and our grandchildren as well.
That makes sense. Now, as far as the infrastructure it takes, you know, we're talking about things like dams, things like paving operations, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, dams, sewage treatment plant upgrades, water filtration plants, levees, you know, a whole network of things that are related to replacing these services. And, you know, since our nation's founding, we've lost over 50% of the wetlands that were here, you know, when the nation first started. And, you know, that's a lot. And we've seen the infrastructure that's went up after it. And the American Society of Civil Engineers, they estimate that over the next two decades, it'll cost roughly $2 trillion just to maintain the infrastructure that we already have.
Not to mention what is going to go up in the future. So,
right. Yes. We don't need to be adding.
Does the rule in question from the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, does it clarify what exactly a wetland is?
There's a standard definition for wetland, but what it does do, it sets very clearly the distance limits which constitute that being adjacent to a navigable water body. So it uses this nexus argument that Justice Kennedy sort of established in that 2006 Supreme Court ruling. So it'll say, you know, 1,500 feet from the floodplain or the mean high water mark for various things, and so people really know, you know, what's covered and what's not. When they first took a stab at this a year ago, things were just sort of loosey-goosey, and it didn't really clearly define what the parameters were that the Clean Water Act covered. So this does a much better job of it this time around.
Right, and I think the definitions are absolutely essential to the enforcement of said rules. Now, one of the things that farmers say is that, well, that means the Fed can come in and take my property.
The thing is, people worry about EPA and property rights from that standpoint. But, you know, President Reagan used to talk about the destructive trespass of pollution. And what he was pointing out is if someone does something upwind or upstream of your property, and that results in harm to your property or diminished use of your property, then that's a trespass on your property. And so people need to look at this both ways. They need to, you know, also recognize that when you not, you know, when you don't allow people to fill in these wetlands or fill in streams or pollute streams, upstream of people, it's protecting their water rights. If someone fills in a wetland and as a result, your in-stream flow gets drier in the month of August and you can't irrigate your crops, then that person upstream has essentially affected your ability to farm.
Exactly. So let's talk about that a little bit. Are most of the bodies we're talking about, as far as wetlands go, are they on agricultural land? Are they on just private property, public property, industrial property? Where do most of these wetlands sit here in Colorado?
Well, it varies by area. It's essentially the wetlands that are covered are adjacent to waterways that directly feed into navigable waters. So, these are things that have a clear nexus to those larger bodies of water. And, you know, as Howard Baker said when he was arguing back when the Clean Water Act came into being, he said, look, we understand that all these things are connected. And you can't sit and say you protect a big water body if you haven't protected all the little ones that run into it. So back in the 70s, they just were coming to the realization and understanding, based on all the water pollution problems that they had, you know, the Cuyahoga River burning and so forth, that right. Everything flowed in together and that we had to protect the whole resource. And that was the intent of the Clean Water Act. And so it's hard for people to then say now that somehow, you know, having a rule that basically stipulates that basic fact is somehow, you know, EPA overreach.
9:42 here at KRDO News Radio. David Jenkins is our guest. He is the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. We'll have our remaining time with David coming up right after this here on KRDO News Radio.
This is KRDO's Morning News Extra. 9 to 10 on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM.
And we are back, 9:47 here at KRDO News Radio. Tom Martino, the troubleshooter, up after 10 o'clock. Right now you're listening to The Extra, and we're talking with David Jenkins. He is the president of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. David, let's continue the discussion. So why do you think the opposition to these EPA rules, along with the Corps of Engineers, why do you think the opposition is so vehement?
Well, I think the special interest, the home builders and some of the big ag interests, they saw an opening with that 2006 Supreme Court decision when all this stuff was kind of put into limbo. And they basically wanted to roll the protections back a little bit to allow themselves more freedom to do whatever it is they want to do or they deem is in their financial interest. And so it's a very parochial, you know, self-centered way of looking at this. What we want conservative lawmakers and others that look at this to do is to take the long view, to look at this from a truly conservative perspective of what's in the best interest of taxpayers long term and what's in the best interest of downstream property rights.
So it's actually a long term view rather than the next quarter's profit.
Right.
All right. So what are you and the group doing to to talk to and try to convince those who oppose it to come to your side?
Yeah, well, the big thing right now is to make sure that we communicate with Republicans in Congress. And, people there in Colorado like Senator Gardner and Congressman Buck, I mean, I've read comments from them who have criticized this rule, and I think they're just taking their cue from some of the talking points they've been provided by some of the opponents here. And, I think, people want to make sure we protect these waters. They need to communicate with those members of Congress, especially conservatives and Republicans, Republican voters, communicate with them that, we need them to look at this from a conservative perspective and not just have a knee-jerk reaction based on the fact that it just happened to be the Obama administration that, was in charge when this rule went down. Sometimes, we have to look beyond the guilt by association and do what's in the best interest. If you look at the original Clean Water Act, it was passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. And that's what we need today. We need to make sure that we go forward unified and do the conservative thing, not only for us, but for our children and grandchildren.
Well, how important, David, is it that you get to the grassroots as well? I mean, I understand it's very important to lobby those congresspeople who are going to have the ultimate decision-making in this, but how important is it to get to just us regular folk?
Well, it's very important because those regular folk, they communicate with their member of Congress, and they have their views, and sometimes those views are shaped by people who don't exactly explain the way it really is. And so that's one of the reasons that we've made ourselves available to be on the airwaves, to be visible in op-eds and stuff, to get this view out there. Because I don't think people, when they think about this issue and they think about wetlands and these streams, I don't think they really tie in what the fiscal conservative position should be. And they don't really tie in the infrastructure that need that we create and burden we create when we destroy these natural resources, God-given resources that are providing great services to us for free.
Yeah, and you talk about $2 trillion. I mean, that's just an amazing amount of money. And how, over the next 20 years, that's what would be spent just on the infrastructure we have
now? Roughly $2 trillion, and that's the American Society of Civil Engineers that gave that estimate. And that's not all of our infrastructure. That's just the infrastructure that's related to flood control, wastewater, and drinking water.
Well, does the rule from the EPA and the Army Corps, does it allow for property seizure, that kind of thing? I mean, that's what a lot of people seem to be concerned about.
No. Basically, it actually is not as robust as probably we really need, in that it requires people to have a permit if they're going to do something to damage one of these water bodies. And then by getting a permit, supposedly, you know, there'll be an appropriate evaluation of whether putting this amount of discharge into this water body or filling this amount of wetlands, is permissible and you'll still have an intact system that performs as it should. And, you know, water is one of those issues that really can't be just solely done at the state level, because rivers and streams flow across political boundaries. They flow from one county into the next, they flow from one state into the next. I've dealt with many issues where you have an upstream polluter just before you get to the state line, and then the state next door gets all the downside from the pollution, and they really have no recourse because the facility is actually located in another state. So we'd like to limit what the federal government does, but this is one area where and even President Reagan acknowledged this, that it's one of the areas where obviously the federal government has to play a role.
Right, and I know people are very sensitive about this. So, as the permitting process continues, this is not a county thing or a city thing or even a state thing. It's a federal deal, right?
Yes, it's a federal thing managed by the Environmental Protection Agency and the regional offices of the Environmental Protection Agency in cooperation with states. The states, there's always been a federal-state partnership with respect to enforcing the Clean Water Act.
Okay, and how can people get more information about this issue, David?
Oh, they can certainly go to our website, conservativestewards.org. We have information there. They can also go to EPA's website. I would really encourage people to actually read the rule. You know, don't just take my word for it or someone else that says something on the other side of the issue. Just read it for yourself, and, you know, it says what it says. And it can really clarify exactly what it does and what the intent is if you just read it.
Excellent. Well, David, thanks so much for the time. I really appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You bet, anytime. That's David Jenkins, President of Conservatives for Responsible Stewardship. You get more information on the rule we talked about. You remember we talked to Tony Gagliardi of the National Federation of Independent Business about this not long ago. They're very much opposed. So, yeah, I think the one thing that David said that's absolutely accurate, no question about it, is just go to the website, EPA, find out for yourself.